And on KBRB, we are joined on the phone lines by Nebraska 43rd District State Senator Tanya Storr, as we're about a little less than 2 months away from the start of the next legislative session, a short session. And we like to take this time, about this time of year, to catch up with Senator Storr and find out what you've been working on in the interim. So good morning, and thought we'd get caught up with what you've been up to in the time since the legislature adjourned.
Yeah, good morning, Greg. This is good to have the opportunity to get caught up with you.
Well, we kind of keep track of your weekly columns in the local newspaper, but wanted to have you come on with us and just kind of tell us a little bit about some of the things you've been working on in the interim that may result in bills that get introduced in January.
Sure. It has. I've been asked the last few weeks by some of my colleagues, maybe I hadn't seen over the summer, you know, how was your summer? And my response has kind of been, did we have one? It seems like it flew by. So I was able to stay pretty busy through the summer months and spent quite a bit of time out in the district, obviously, was home at the ranch majority of the time and was able to get to every county for at least one or more constituent meetings. And so that is really helpful in terms of, and important, quite frankly, in terms of, you know, hearing from constituents, you know, knowing really what's on their mind, what remains important. You know, property taxes are certainly haven't went away in terms of being a top concern for folks. And so, you know, as we enter into the second half of our biennium, you have probably, along with others, read in the newspaper that we are going to be facing an additional budget shortfall that we'll have to come back and work on to balance that budget again. So that's probably going to take a little bit of our time in this short session, which is generally not the case in a short session, that the budget is not typically something that the body has to come back and work on. But you know, some of the things that I've been focused on, I guess, over the summer, I did hold a couple of interim studies, and those have proven to be very helpful. One interim study was on the Niobrara Scenic River and really taking a look at how and if it may work for the state of Nebraska to take over the responsibilities of managing that 76-mile stretch of river versus the National Park Service, who currently oversees that management plan. Had a lot of good input. Unfortunately, we had to cancel the public hearing that was scheduled because my father passed away. He passed away about 2 days before that public hearing was scheduled to be held here in Lincoln, and obviously I was not going to be able to attend that. So disappointed that we were not able to find a time to reschedule the public hearing. However, the study is being completed. We have still compiled all of the testimony that was going to be presented at that hearing and our own research. So we will have a completed study on that.
Well, speaking of that a little bit, you know, for those that are familiar, the National Park Service runs and manages the scenic river, basically from above Valentine down through Rock County. And then you have the local board, the Niobrara Council, that kind of also handles, you know, some of the zoning and some of the different things on the river corridor. And I know following the council minutes that the federal funding that the council, or federal and state funding that the council's been receiving, might be in question or drying up. So, you know, wondered what your thoughts were on the scenic river. I know you talked about the potential for that study, but what are you thinking is the best result of that? Is it to revert that away from federal control back to either state or even local control with the council or through a volunteer group? You know, the state obviously is going to be tough on funds to manage the you know, the game and parks properties that they have. So what are you thinking as you've heard from stakeholders about what the best way is to move forward?
Yeah, you know, the intent as we set out on the study itself was to take a look at what it would cost, you know, actual hard costs versus, you know, what those regulatory requirements would be for Nebraska Game and Parks to sort of take over the role of managing that stretch of river, you know, as a substitute for what the National Park Service is currently doing. And so we're kind of finalizing that. You know, certainly I went and visited with the governor as well as, you know, Tim McCoy, and had a discussion before we launched into the study as to whether or not that was something that they would generally support and be interested in pursuing. And of course, the answer was yes, and so we moved forward with the study and gathering that information. So we should have a lot of that pulled together, which, you know, that'll be available to anybody that wants to look at it once we finalize the study itself. But, you know, I know there was some concern, you know, from different groups that we were attempting to just completely eliminate the designation. That was never the objective, nor is that the objective. But as you stated in the beginning of your question, it really is to take a look at having the state take the role of management versus the federal government.
Well, we'll see how that works out. Might have to check in with you again or see if you do introduce anything that would move that issue forward coming up in January. You know, you mentioned this, the budget shortfall, in the long session to balance a budget and provide for the tax cuts that were made on the income and corporate side of things. There were a lot of cuts made, some cash funds and, you know, rainy day funds that were used to help balance that. Now, after those have been, you know, depleted a little bit, you've still got this shortfall. Do you feel like you can make that budget balance just through further cuts without, you know, severely impacting the service the state provides? Or what are you thinking is going to be the way the body tries to tackle that shortfall?
Yeah, I would answer that by first, you know, telling you about, I think this will answer your question in large part about my position on how we balance that budget, but there are three of my colleagues and myself that all voted in the same, took the same vote on last year's tax plan, which was to expand the tax base, and we opposed that because that was a net increase in state taxes. And, you know, we have made some great strides. You know, I commend the governor's office as well as the members of the legislative body, you know, that were there during special session and the a year prior to that, and some of the things that they have done towards property tax relief, which I think have went a little bit overlooked, quite frankly. You know, when we moved the community colleges, and when I say we, the legislative body, yeah. I was not in the body at that time when that vote was taken, but I support that. When they moved the community colleges over from the property taxpayer side of the ledger over to the state side of the ledger, that was what I call true property tax reform. We were completely, you know, there's a small levy left there for some residual expenses that lingered, but for the most part, completely moved that bill over, took it off of the property taxpayer's bill and put it on the state's bill.
Well, that's about a 10-cent per $100 in valuation levy is what the community colleges were levying, and that, you know, they always talk about, well, the levy didn't go up. Yeah, well, it didn't go up because you're at your max, and yet with property valuation skyrocketing, you keeping your 10-cent levy just meant that you were taking more and more in property tax. I want to say, and this was well before the bill to move that funding over to the state side of things, but just Brown Rock and Kippahaw counties, who do not even have an extended campus for a community college, those three counties combined were sending over $1 million in property tax to Northeast Community College. And I know that rubbed a lot of people the wrong way. So having that move off, yeah, that's going to be, for the most part, a 10-cent levy that comes off of the property tax rolls.
Yeah, it's a big deal. I mean, it is a significant move in the right direction. I know when I was serving as a county commissioner, probably the only thing I had more complaints, and of course we didn't control or have any direct impact on the community college levy, but the only thing I heard more complaints about than community colleges was roads, I suppose. But so moving that over is truly tax reform. It's about a $300 million bill, sum total, that we have taken off of the property taxpayers' bill. Now, part of the frustration right now is trying to figure out, all right, that's gone. Like, that expense is gone from the property taxpayers' bill. But in the very same year we moved $300 million over, we only saw a $6 million reduction statewide total in property taxes collected. And so we've got to really sort of hammer down and figure out, why then, if we're taking big chunks of responsibility, I guess, off of property taxpayers, why aren't we seeing those taxes levied go down at a much quicker rate? And of course that gets a little more complicated, because when you total, when you're talking about a total property tax collection statewide, you're talking about hundreds of different boards who are making decisions independently, right? So school boards, NRD boards, ESU, fire boards, county boards, all across Nebraska. So all of those boards make up that total statewide property tax collection figure that we have looked at, that only went down by $6 million in the same year we took $300 off the bill. So with respect to local control, there has to be an awareness that we don't want to, at least I can say I want to be very respectful and careful that we don't get so heavy-handed at the state that we really are taking away the power of those locally elected boards. But at the same time, we need to get some sort of consistency across the state to kind of make sure that those rates are not growing at a pace that we can't keep up with.
Well, and I look at it too, Tanya, covering those local boards that you're talking about that have the say in the budget making process. And I think at least in this rural area, every one of those boards is very cognizant of the taxes that they are levying and are trying to do their best. But you look at it, I'll use the county standpoint, armor coating a paved road, the cost of that has almost doubled in the last couple, 3 years. The cost of a piece of machinery, whether it's a grader or something like that, they're just astronomically higher. Plus, as wages have increased, all of your entities that have employees are having to, raise wages and things to keep their staffs intact. So it's a tough situation when your dollars don't stretch as far, certainly, as they used to, and that goes from from your personal household, but to your governmental entities as well. When you see the costs of those things rise so much, it's either, well, do we trim back how much work we do or the equipment that we buy, or do we have to increase levies to pay for those new higher costs?
Right. So those are really your only two choices, right? And it would be the same, would be true if it was in our personal business, that if costs are going up, then in business, you take a look at, how do I generate more revenue? And that's a very different generation of revenue than government. When government generates revenue, they're raising taxes. That is their only source of revenue. And so, it is ultimately comes down to that decision. Are there additional efficiencies that can be found in government, or are we willing to say, listen, taxpayers, we need more money from you? And I am always a believer that we have got to exhaust every avenue of finding those efficiencies first, because I've yet to hear from a taxpayer that said, hey, I'm going to step up and volunteer to pay more today. And virtually everybody is saying, listen, our business margins are tight as well. You know, my wages haven't increased at the rate that my taxes in some years are increasing. So we're asking you, elected officials, to really be fiscally responsible with what you're asking from me in taxes.